Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Happy Monday. We are going to start the show talking about the latest reopening measures, which go into effect today across the Commonwealth. Indoor performance spaces, recreation centers can now open at 50% capacity. Restaurants no longer have a capacity limit, although they must enforce social distancing, but they're now also allowed to offer live music performances. Now, some communities, City of Boston, Somerville, are holding back on some of these measures for at least a few weeks because the fact is some see the state's loosening of restrictions as foolish and premature, even while others see it as much needed relief. Here is what Governor Baker had to say while addressing the media at a vaccine clinic at Morningstar Baptist Church in Mattapan this morning.
It doesn't mean, however, that people can or should let down their guard. Everybody knows what it takes. Wearing masks, socially distancing, washing your hands, not participating in a lot of informal gatherings with people who aren't part of your household bubble, and understanding and recognizing that caution remains the watchword here.
So everyone's looking at the same data. So is this a good idea or not? We are going to hear some pros and cons, and we welcome your perspective. Do you support the loosening this week? Are you ready to go to places like restaurants without capacity limits? Laser tag. Are you a business owner preparing to reopen to more customers? Maybe you think it's too soon and you want everybody to hold back a while longer. And what about these plans to open further? Phase 4 for the first time is on the docket beginning March 22nd. Call us 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So let us begin by speaking with a medical professional. Dr. Davidson Hamer is a professor of infectious diseases and medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine, professor at Boston University School of Public Health. Dr. Hamer, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you joining us and our listeners. I want to start straight up. Do you think this next step in reopening today is appropriate, or do you think it comes too soon?
Well, I've been thinking about this over the last few days, and I was a little hesitant about this, and I still am. I think that a lot of our indicators are improving. The sort of case numbers are down, the proportion positive are down, I think hospitalizations are down. I mean, a lot of good indicators. Even the wastewater data look better, although they had a little bit of a blip and a rise last week, but that seems to flatten out. So, I mean, all the indicators are that transmission is slowing. But on the flip side, you know, there's growing evidence as we're starting to sequence more virus that some of the variants of concern, including the UK strain, are circulating, and that could change the balance towards more transmission.
So let's talk specifically about, you referred to them as the variants of concern and the fact that they are circulating now in the Commonwealth. How and why would that be a game changer in this sort of calculus about how to reopen?
Well, the one that's been identified most commonly so far is called B117. This is also known as the UK variant. And this one is of concern because of evidence that it may be more transmissible, it may be more spread more easily from person to person than the sort of standard strain that we have had in the U.S. And there's some evidence, actually one small study suggesting that people that are infected with it shed the virus for a longer period of time than people with a more standard strain, which means they could be infectious for a longer period of time. And you know, because that's starting to spread, and there's concern that that may become the dominant strain in Massachusetts and in parts of the U.S. where it's spreading, that could tip things in the other direction towards almost a resurgence, like a fourth wave for parts of the U.S. or a third wave for Massachusetts. So, you know, I think because of that, you know, I'm concerned that could exacerbate the situation just when things are looking good.
Let me just throw the number out there to our listeners, 800-423-8255. to reflect on your reactions to the fact that we are entering phase three, step two again today, loosening, doing more reopening. Dr. Hamer, I do just want to ask you, you said the UK variant might shed for a longer period. Just briefly, how much longer?
Oh, this is very preliminary data, and it's a small number of patients, so I'm not sure I would put a lot of weight on it yet, but we clearly need more evidence. But at least one description I read was, or actually heard from a colleague, an epidemiologist in Connecticut, that it was shedding as much as 5 or 6 days longer on average than the standard strain.
That's a lot. Okay.
That is a
lot. So I want to bring in, a couple of national voices here. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, formerly Massachusetts General Hospital. She was asked specifically about the governor's newest rules for restaurants last Friday. The governor's announcement was Thursday afternoon. She was asked last Friday. She said her agency, quote, would really encourage people in states to not expand and release restrictions, end quote. Then today, she appeared to double down, according to a Boston Globe report. She feels that the infection rate is kind of plateauing at a daily number that's too high, and she said she's, quote, really worried, end quote, about states backing off on what she called the exact public health measures that the CDC recommends. And I want to play one other, because then Dr. Anthony Fauci doubled down yesterday on CNN in relation to Rochelle Walensky's comments. Here he is talking to Dana Bash.
Are the easing of those restrictions?
Yeah, I would think it is. I think, you know, obviously each individual state and city needs to look at the situation in their own location where they are. But in general, to think just because the cases are coming down on a daily basis, take a look at the pattern and just watch over the next several days to a week. If we do this and start coming up, then we're going to go right back to the road of rebounding. So that's the reason why I agree completely with what Dr. Walensky has said.
Does that mean that Governor Baker is basically flat out disregarding the advice of public health experts by moving to this phase now?
That's a question for me. I mean, I think, you know, Governor Baker actually in his press conference this morning, which is more about vaccines, but he did say, you know, they're trying to balance, you know, sort of, you know, the need to reopen the economy with what they think is safe. And you know, again, as he noted, you know, a lot of the indicators for Massachusetts are looking up or really going down. And therefore they feel comfortable opening. But at the same time, you have, you know, two major public health authorities, Dr. Walensky and Dr. Fauci, saying, whoa, let's slow down. And I'm in agreement with them. I think we you know, if we gave things 2 to 4 more weeks at least before making this move and had further decline, lower case rate, less evidence of transmission in the community, that would be a safer situation to consider expansion of restaurant dining and so forth.
1-800-423-8255 to tell us what you think of where we are in the reopening and the newest steps to relax that reopening a little bit more. We've got Laura on the line from Jamaica Plain. Laura, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Governor Baker says that restaurants have no capacity. You know, you can sit in a restaurant 6 feet apart with masks off indoors when this is an airborne virus that floats in the air. Yet, he doesn't want us to blend families. Like, you're not supposed to blend households. That's blending households indoors.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that call, Laura. No, let's pick that back up there, Laura. And Dr. Hamer, I do want to talk about the difference between what we're allowing in public spaces, what we're allowing in private spaces, and where you see the source of the risk being the greatest.
That's a tough question. I mean, I think, you know, there's evidence for both transmission in public places, you know, in particular dining establishments like restaurants and bars, you know, places where, you know, people may only be 6 feet apart, which may be not sufficient distance, but they're taking their masks off and they're off for extended periods of time because they're eating or drinking. I mean, that is very similar to a home situation. If you have a group of people in your home, you know, often you're going to be eating or drinking and socializing and, you know, masked down. And if it's your immediate family and you've been with them for weeks, you know their status. But if you're inviting friends or relatives in that may have had other contacts that you are not aware of, the risk is high. And I think that Laura's point is really appropriate, that, you know, the risk of having, you know, a group of people in your home is very similar to having a group of people in a restaurant eating at the next table. I mean, 6 feet is not enough to completely prevent spread of this disease. Certainly 6 feet or more and masks, you're in a good place. But you know, again, in a restaurant, you can't keep masks on a lot of the time.
So I want to ask you a counterpoint question here. According to the State House News Service, we've reached the point in the Commonwealth where the number of people who've been fully vaccinated is roughly equal to the number of people who have had COVID-19 over the last year. And we also know that there are these range of estimates out there of what percentage of the population is likely to have had the virus without knowing it. So sort of the total percent of the population that may have some immunity because they've had the virus. Incredible sources, you know, you see estimates that range anywhere from 40% to 55%. When one hears that data, does it change how we should look at and consider this reopening and the needs of business owners and people for socialization and community, et cetera? Where does that fit in?
I mean, I think that having a good reading, like a fairly accurate estimate of people who have had the disease, especially in the last 3 to 6 months, because there's some evidence that immunity may wane, may fade away with time, especially for people who had a milder infection. But knowing, you know, what proportion have had the disease, what proportion have had the vaccine, and then, you know, sort of seeing where we are in relation to the estimates, which is as high as 70 to 80% of what you need to reach to develop herd immunity. I mean, we will really know that we've gotten there when transmission drops down to very low levels and then starts to fizzle out altogether. And I don't think we're anywhere near that level yet.
I'd like to grab just a couple more caller voices here. We've got Dave on the line from West Roxbury. Dave, go ahead.
Hi. My only question on this is, what's the goal now? We've had a lot of goals. We seem to have obtained them. You know, the first one is, of course, flatten the curve, save the hospitals, keep people from dying. It seems like those things were the vaccines are going to really help with. So what's our goal here? Is it to become herd immunity before we open up the rest of the economy? Or are we going to be able to live with this virus until everyone can get vaccinated or boosters or whatever they need to get for that to happen? I mean,
how long
do people expect us to keep us locked down like that?
Thanks, Dave. I'm going to add one more voice here, Kara in Worcester, and then I'll come back to you, Dr. Hamer. Kara, go ahead.
Sure. I mean, we keep hearing reopen the economy, but we've never really closed the economy. The restrictions we've put in place seem really, not anywhere near severe as some other countries, and we're still right now at about 10 times the level we were when we even put the kind of moderate restrictions we did in place a year ago. And I just think we don't have to choose between people's livelihoods and their lives. If we had some courage to tax the Massachusetts billionaires that have, you know, each gotten about $1 billion richer this year.
I appreciate that, Kara. I just don't want to get into tax policy here, especially with Dr. Hamer. And I would say we did have some fairly significant restrictions, especially a year ago this month. I mean, it was pretty hardcore. So I do want to put that in a piece of perspective as well. So a couple last comments there. Last thoughts and reaction from you, Dr. Hamer.
Sure. I mean, both Dave and Kara, you know, raise interesting points. And you know, the goal now, you know, I think really is, I mean, the ultimate goal is to...
Oh, we may have lost Dr. Hamer there, and that's a
no,
bit of a...
Certain,
there you go.
I don't know. Somehow
oh, no,
I was
muted.
Muted by the system. That was a Zoom snag there.
All right. Well, it gave us a cliffhanger, so go ahead.
So anyways, what I'm saying is that, you know, I think right now the ultimate goal is really to get transmission down to very low levels. We still want to try and help, you know, the most vulnerable of our society to get vaccination, but also to be protected if they've not yet received the vaccine. And you know, there is a sort of delicate balance with further reopening of the economy, because, you know, Kara's right. I mean, we already are open. It's just a matter of opening more. I think ultimately we still want to try and reduce severe disease, hospitalization, and death. By widely distributing the vaccine, but also by continuing to have some, you know, measures in effect that prevent transmission in public places, we'll be able to get there.
All right. That is Dr. Davidson Hamer, professor of infectious diseases and medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine and a professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. My pleasure. Thank you.
So we're gonna welcome a couple of restaurant owners now. We want to get your sense of when will you go back to a restaurant? How anxious are you to do that? When your local pub reopens, will you go? What businesses, what local restaurants, eateries, taverns are you missing the most? Give them a shout out. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. With us is Tim Athanasiades. I hope I get that right, Tim. He is the owner of Asperia Grill in Brighton. Tim, we've talked with you a few times throughout the pandemic. And just quickly, also, Royal Smith is proprietor of District 7 Tavern in Roxbury and a founding member of the Boston Black Hospitality Coalition. Tim, Royal, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me back.
Definitely. Thank you for inviting me.
Great to have you. So, Tim, I'm going to start with you. You have been open throughout, including serving a lot of takeout early on. Will any of the changes today affect you and how?
Actually, there's no changes whatsoever. I got all excited when I heard 100%, but then the 6 feet apart just brought us right back where we were. It's going to stay strictly takeout because 11 chairs, my capacity is 44, so 11 chairs doesn't do anything. So we're actually, I'm kind of glad the governor's going in the right direction, hopefully saying we will be at 100%, but it doesn't change anything in my establishment.
So Tim, should we take away from that then, that if you're a smaller establishment, until some of the social distancing guidelines are reduced, et cetera, you just can't get the capacity in that you need to have it make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, for larger venues, I think, and I certainly hope that this helps them. But if you have the space for the 6 feet apart, you know, great. Take advantage of it. I'm glad it's happening. But for places like mine, it just doesn't work.
Royal, I'm going to bring you in. You've been closed as a tavern. You don't reopen today. You can't until phase four. But the Commonwealth says that unless public health markers shift, that can happen on March 22nd. Are you getting ready? Are you going to reopen on the 22nd?
I'm going to reopen whenever it's safe for my community, and I have the ability to open.
And what does that mean for you?
You know, unless there's a major intention, like a intentional influx of resources and cash for Black-owned businesses like myself, we're not going to survive. We're not going to make it. And then we're going to go into the whole thing of starting off on an uneven playing field as we were prior to the pandemic.
Royal, that's really serious. Are you saying you're concerned that you can't make it to reopening and may not be able to reopen your business?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You know, I went through the everything that, you know, has been instructed to me and the resources that have been, you know, afforded to me. But the reality is that I have not seen any fruit from those trees. And, you know, after the state of the emergency, you know, that's when, you know, real knocks on the door come from, you know, past bills that have been, you know, just piling up for the past year since our closing.
So, Tim, have you been able to access any of the federal or state programs for restaurants or small businesses?
Yes, they actually helped us out with the payroll, which is great because we were able to, you know, when this first started, we were at about a 70% nosedive, you know what I'm saying? And not just me, I believe everybody. We're still about 30-35% off because there's no dining in. And then, you know, you have great weeks and then you have really bad weeks. But thank God they did step in. They did give us some assistance. And today, every little bit helps. And I
so, Tim, you're referring to the payroll protection program there, right?
I am, the PPP, I am.
Royal, did you try to access PPP funds?
Several times. There were several through my bank, through, you know, different merchant accounts. But, you know, unfortunately, I was not able to get any resources from them. And, you know, just looking at the people in my circle and in the groups that I, you know, all the other business owners, it's been very scarce, to people in the coalition and, you know, restaurant businesses in Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan area.
And when you say the coalition, you mean the Boston Black Hospitality Coalition, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So we hear, I mean, this is such an interesting and painful moment, right? Here are these two businesses, both of you. Tim, we've been rooting for you and talking with you since the beginning of this pandemic. Royal, you are new to us and telling us a painful story of not being able to access the same resources as Tim. How much are your businesses at the mercy of whether or not you can get financial support other than in these limited, you know, well, for you, Royal, you can't sell anything. Tim, for you, it's just takeout. Help us understand just how bleeding edge that is for the two of you. And I don't mean that voyeuristically. I want people to understand what you're going through. Tim.
I went to California. I had lost a friend last week, and I was able to see that some of their cities and their major arteries, like Newbury Street, you know, shut completely down. And what they've done is they let all the businesses occupy the street with tables, chairs. You know, they have to become innovative here and let the people do what they need to do to survive so they don't have to close their doors. And I'm not saying shut down Newbury Street, but, you know, our neighborhoods have side streets and so forth that maybe that approach needs to come here. Now, granted, the weather's different out there, but, you know, we are in March, maybe a few tents, maybe a few heaters, but it is extremely difficult. I mean, I'm grateful that we're open, but it's not easy, let me tell you. You got to be on top of it 100%. And not only if the government doesn't give you anything, you know, prices, shopping for the restaurants, we have seen an increase. We have, you know, things are not available as much as they used to be, and the prices are a little bit higher, well, not a little bit higher, in some cases a lot higher. So it makes it even more difficult for us to keep the doors open.
Tim, can you give us an example of a good that is more expensive now?
Oh, absolutely. Something as simple as gloves for food, you know. They used to be $35, $40. If you find them now, they're $99 to $106 a case versus the $40 a case. And we go through gloves, and I'm sure everybody goes through gloves. Like, you know, there's no tomorrow, but that's just one little example of, you know, the price of goods skyrocketing. And also the vegetables, too. From what we hear is the farms don't have the pickers to pick them, and they're being wasted and thrown away. So that raises the prices because, you know, there's no abundance of them.
And Tim, by the way, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your friend, too. I'm
Thank
sure
you
that,
so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Royal, let me turn to you. What do you need, and what do you want people to understand right now?
What do I need? I need a lifeline, you know, or access to or the resources to not only for my business to survive, but for everybody's business to survive. And you know, COVID-19 is affecting everybody, and some more than others. You know, I watch the same articles. Watch the same interviews and articles that everybody else does. And I see this minority funds and things going across, but it's kind of weird that I'm on the ground. None of the people around me are expressing the same, you know, gratitude that Tim is having because we're not getting these resources. Maybe we don't know how, you know. I would love to open. I would love to have supply-demand problems. And, you know, District 7 Tavern is a smaller establishment. We're 827 square feet in the heart of Roxbury on Warren and Martin Luther King. And, you know, we don't have access to sidewalks to build these outdoor venues. So, you know, we have to get creative, which we have done. But, you know, that was last summer. We're going into a new season now, and if I don't have the money to, or the assistance or the resources to pay back rent or bills, you know, I can't think about a reopening, you know, and that goes for a lot of businesses in my circumstance.
Right. So I'm noting, you know, Royal, with you talking about the lack of access to sidewalks, Tim, with you noting that when you were in California, you saw better use of outdoor space to help restaurants and other businesses survive. Mayor Walsh did announce today that the city's bringing back the outdoor dining program on April 1st. It's expanding outdoor dining and modeling it after last year's program. Tim, will that, clearly it's Royal saying that that even that won't help me. Tim, will you take advantage of that, and will that allow you to do tables, or will you still be at just takeout?
We're going to stay just takeout because of the availability of, like he just mentioned, you know, there's no sidewalks or wide enough or safe enough, and if they shut the streets down, we're going to stay takeout as long as we can, and hopefully they will allow us 50-75% dining in, then we would seriously consider, because I'll tell you right now, customers, we're grateful because customers who did dine in are taken out from us, and all we hear, the number one question is, when are you going to reopen, when are you going to reopen? And I just keep saying, as soon as it's safe and as soon as they allow us. Going back to I don't understand why funds are made to certain people and funds not are made to other people. Perhaps a phone call to the governor's office, or if there's some kind of office, so they can help the gentleman with the pub, you know, and say, hey, wait a minute, you know what? What can we do to provide something for you? I don't understand that. Why isn't something being done for him and in his establishment?
So I feel like, Tim and Royal, we're going to wrap up here. Tim, in making that comment, I feel like you're underscoring the differences that we have seen, and that data has played out here in the Commonwealth throughout this pandemic. The racial disparities that we've seen and the way it's impacted people, public health-wise, business-wise, and relief-wise. It's a lot for the two of you to join us, to share your stories, tell us what your situation is. I'm grateful to you both. Tim Athanasiades is the owner of Asperia Grill in Brighton. Royal Smith is proprietor of District 7 Tavern in Roxbury and a founding member of the Boston Black Hospitality Coalition. We will be thinking about both of you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me as well. Thank you.
Best of luck to you.